I'm Ilan Yurkovich. Welcome to New Life Live, sitting in for Steve Arterburn. Join us. Be with us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well with children.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Mylan, thank you for starting the program. I feel like singing That's What Friends Are For.
That's what friends are for.
Keep smiling. Anyway, thanks for starting us off here. Sorry I was late. I was held up. I mean, not literally held up, but I was preoccupied.
Yes, that something happens.
Else. Not rare, not often, though.
No, but it can happen.
That'd be the first time in that way. Anyway, thanks for joining us today here on New Life Live. We're glad you're with us. We've got phone calls waiting to be answered, and that's what we do here. And so come and join us. In fact, I think, I want to make two announcements, and then we'll go to the phones. First one is that Every Man's Battle starts tomorrow in Dallas. You can still get in if you want to and you need to. And our Every Man's Battle 2.0 for our alumni starts next week in San Diego. So you'll want to be a part of that. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And let's just go right to the phones and talk with, first of all, Lauren from Corona, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Lauren.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, hanging in there. How are you guys?
Good. How could we help you today?
I am 50 years old. I've been married for 19 years. I have three marvelous boys. And I'm getting a divorce because of my sexual addiction.
Okay.
And I can't seem to, it just seems to be bigger than I am. And I feel like it's controlling me, and I just can't get a grip. And even though my husband has known about this for the past year, we went to Christian counseling, and she said, you know, I just really don't see any hope for you guys. And even though I know I'm at risk of losing, you know, my kids, everything, it's not enough of a deterrent.
Yeah.
And I was actually asked to leave the house this weekend.
Well, what have you done to try to fix that addiction? Have you done anything?
You know, I've seen a therapist, but she just kind of seems to dance around the issue. I need to know.
You need somebody to dance with it, don't you? Hit it directly.
Why I sexualize things. I've done that ever since I've been a teenager. Why I, am compulsive about this, doing the internet thing, posting ads, and I can seem like I can stop it for, a few weeks.
Well,
but then,
who was it in when you were younger that deprived you of something? Let's just take a shot at that. Were you deprived of anything when you were a child?
My early childhood memories are all of my dad. He was like my buddy, and then he left the house kind of abruptly when I was about 9. And
makes it even
my mom
tougher.
She was just never available.
Yeah,
she's always working and emotionally unavailable.
Look at that. I mean, wouldn't you say you just kind of teed up there for some kind of problem, that your dad was your buddy, and then boom, he's gone, and your mother doesn't connect with you?
Yeah,
something had to happen. But now something has to happen to heal those wounds.
Right. I can't continue to do this because one day I'm afraid I'm going to walk into a hotel room and not come out.
Right. And you're not going to heal those wounds by having a counselor that dances around the issue. That just isn't going to work. So we'll try to give you some help. I'll ask Mylan and Sherry to work real hard on this one at the break and come back and give you the best answer, because it sounds like you're really desperate, and that's a great place to be if you truly want your life to be better. We'll be back right after this for New Life Live.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Lauren, who has literally an addiction problem, and she really needs some help, and her previous counselor dances around it. Why don't we start with you, Sherry? And we did what we said we'd do. We really worked really hard on this. So, Sherry, what are you thinking?
Hey, Lauren. Thanks so much for calling and being so brave. So brave to talk about your pain as a woman online, because I just want to applaud you, because a lot of times on the radio we'll have men call in that are talking about this struggle, but we don't often hear about the women that are also struggling with sex addiction. So I just want to applaud you, and we're not going to dance around it with you. We're going to just talk to your heart. And there's a few different things that are underneath someone who struggles with a sex addiction. One of them is often abandonment issues, where someone was left and your dad clearly left you. And then there's traumas, lots of traumas in their background, either physically, emotionally, relationally, sexually. And then kind of a poor self-core, negative thoughts about who you really are, negative beliefs, core negative beliefs that I'm not good enough. No one would really want me, especially when they find out about my struggle with sex addiction. No one's going to really want me. Are those true?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. And so that's what Steve was talking about when he said, has anyone unpacked those wounds with you? Because just like the woman at the well, where Jesus came to her and he was trustworthy. He kind of told her about her life and about the losses. He didn't come with judgment. He kind of went to her painful parts. Has anyone once sat with you and started to do the healing?
No. You know, I'm very good at kind of keeping things in my head and not going down.
But now you've been asked to avoid
and isolate and all that kind of stuff.
But you've been asked to leave now, and so does that produce a change in your willingness?
It's actually kind of a breath of fresh air, because I can't give him what he needs, and you know, there's a lack of respect for him on my part, and I've always kind of felt like I've had 4 boys instead of 3, and it's just too overwhelming to even think of trying to work on a marriage right now. When I feel so bankrupt and just so, you know, except for my kids, I'm a good mom, but I compartmentalize, and that's how I've kind of always gotten through my life. But
right, and that's not letting your head and heart be married on. These are heart issues. These are deep healing issues. If you begin to imagine going into one of the hotel rooms that you go with, do you realize the men you are with is somebody's son?
Yeah.
You've got sons. Those men you're with are somebody's son.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
See, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Lauren, I don't think you have... This is going to sound funny. I don't think you have a sexual addiction. I think you have a craving for closeness addiction.
But then why do I sexualize
you do sexualize it. I'm not discounting that. Deep down underneath all that, you have a craving for attention and closeness and intimacy. And I would suggest your husband probably couldn't somehow give you that, and that's why you disrespect him and resent him. He couldn't stay close enough to you.
Yeah.
So what happens then is we seek this intimacy, and our longing for connection is turned on high, and nobody can meet it. So all of a sudden it becomes sexualized, but before you ever sexualize this, you were a hurt, sad little girl before you knew how to sexualize it. You said you started sexualizing everything when you turned into a teenager, but at 9 years old when you lost your daddy, you were probably just a sad little girl.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
I know you don't. But if he left at 9, I know you were a sad little girl. You lost your best buddy. Now, yeah. How this is going to heal is if, and believe me, there's a lot of therapists that are familiar with people that have longings for closeness. And you would be called what we call a person who's called a proximity seeker. They want to be close to people all the time. If there's any hint of separation, they get very upset and agitated inside. So they have to immediately fix that aloneness and that panicky feeling they feel of not being seen or noticed or heard by creating closeness. And that becomes an intense moment. And that intensity.
But why do I push people away then?
Well, because
you're afraid of intimacy.
There's ambivalence here.
You're afraid of intimacy.
Once they disappoint you, I don't hold them close anymore. I push them away. So there's an ambivalence. You're what they call an ambivalently attached person.
And part of that is you idealize what the attention or the sex or the emotion with that person is going to do. You idealize that. And then in reality, when it doesn't fix you, you don't have a use for that person anymore.
Well, you can make them all bad.
Yeah.
And so you do a lot of good-bad splits, Lauren. You go all good. This is an all-good experience. All of a sudden, it's all bad.
But one of the things that occurs in a sexual addiction or a romance or a relationship addiction is that you do things that are 180-degree contradiction to your values. And you said you're a good mother, yet you just had to leave your children. Explain that to me. How do you be a good mother, but you did stuff that have now caused you to leave your children?
Because I can separate it out completely.
Right.
But it has consequences.
It had nothing to do with them.
Yeah, but it has consequences that are affecting your children. How close are you to your children?
I'm very, very close.
Well,
to
you just have been asked to leave your children.
I know.
So you're not close. You're not either. You're not, or you're about to not be very close at all.
Okay. So now we understand what happened to Lauren at 9. She compartmentalized her pain.
Right.
And when do we learn to compartmentalize? We didn't just invent it when we're 48. You're 50 now. We began to compartmentalize. It hurts so bad. I take it and I compartmentalize that pain. So what we call that is you're not congruous as a person. There's a lack of congruency. You can separate out parts and behave in certain parts as separate from one another. So I want you to understand something, Lauren. Where you're at is not a surprise to the three of us. We've seen and talked and heard about you and read about you thousands of times.
I wrote about her.
Me too.
And when you love too much.
Yeah. And so I want you to rejoice in the fact that this is a common problem. You're not this unique individual that is somehow different than everybody else. You're more common than you would know. And there's males just like you as well. Males and females behave this exact same way. So there's hope.
How do I stop it?
Okay. Begin to, Sherry, the congruency is a very big thing. We stop compartmentalizing, we begin to grieve, and we begin
What would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, I mean, I would say immediately what you can do is you need to find a therapist who's not going to dance around this. You need to find someone who specializes in addiction and love and relationship addictions.
Well, how about going to a meeting called Love and Sex Addicts Anonymous?
That's exactly what I was going to say. That as well. You're going to need to replace your therapist because you need someone who's not afraid of this, that understands it. And then look online right now. There's probably a love and relationship sex addiction group in your area, and you start going. And like Mylan said, you're going to – and you go to a women's only group, okay? I want you to go to a women's only group, and you're going to find a room full of women that you're going to go, oh, my gosh, I sound just like them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to start looking at and hearing about and talking about what the pain is underneath that drives you into that hotel room. Because you're just sexualizing your pain. You're not wanting to go there. You're unplugging from your pain, and you're using the power you get from sex and the draw you get from men to feel powerful, to feel good about yourself. But it never lasts, does it?
No, Sherry, that is right on.
Yep.
That's right on.
Yeah.
That's right on.
Okay.
So take the steps. That's right on, is taking those steps. You cannot do this in isolation, and you've got to take those steps.
Okay.
All right. I'm glad you called. Hold on. I want to send you When You Love Too Much. We'll get that right out to you. And I'm glad that you called. You know, I've talked about this before, but in Mark 2, there's a story of a guy who needs healing. And the room is so crowded, they can't get the guy into Jesus to heal him. And you can imagine Jesus talking about the kingdom of God and all these other things that Jesus preached about. And dust starts coming down into the room, and a brick lands, and Jesus makes a joke. Hey, looks like the kingdom is happening right now or something. I don't know. I think he probably had a sense
falling.
Of humor.
Sky is falling.
And they're knocking a hole out of the roof. And then they lower this guy down. And Jesus says that their faith is the reason that he's going to heal this guy. Their faith. Not just the guy with the problem, but the people around him. He had people to carry him to the roof. He had roof people.
Mm-hmm.
And we need roof people. And we don't have roof. We have dungeon people and basement people. But that they were roof people. And, you know, she doesn't have that. She doesn't have anybody. All she's got is somebody to get her deep in trouble for a little while, and then it's on to the next thing. And we need to develop. We talk about it. It's more like a broken record around here about needing these other same-sex relationships if we're going to have some normalcy and consistency in our life. And she needs it. Mm. Now, the other thing that just blows me away is that You have a problem like this, and with the internet everywhere. I mean, I just, you know, Googled who did Baylor play when they won 50-48. You know, you can Google anything. Why wouldn't you just sit down one day and Google help for female sex addict and see what would come up?
She did that by calling us.
She did.
And that is the good news.
That's the good news. I'm trying to challenge people that are in her situation.
Yes.
They're not calling us,
yes,
but they're listening. That's a step. Get some help. You really can. Now, I want to take a little turn on this. I read an article the other day about the Miss September Playboy.
Okay.
And Miss September is touring. And when you tour as Miss September, you have people come and get an autograph of your centerfold. And so people are waiting in long lines. Miss September was interviewed, and she was surprised at how many mothers of young boys stood in line with the magazine for her to sign to the boy, and the mother was going to give it to the boy when he was old enough to read the magazine.
Breaks
You're kidding.
No.
And breaks
she,
my heart.
And it was a big enough, a frequent enough event that she was commenting on it in the interview. Well, you know, we have all these men and stuff, but the thing that has surprised me the most are these mothers that come to get their autograph for their young sons, for when they're old enough to read the magazine.
Wow.
Of course, she's quite impressed with that. But I just think, man, dumb mothers out there.
Well, any mother that does that is one of the types of people we're describing who sexualize things and think that sexualization is the means to connection.
Yeah.
I even speak to men who say, I have a high sex drive, and I go, well, is it a high sex drive or a high need to eradicate pain or a high need to create closeness and a longing for closeness.
To mood alter.
Is a high need to mood alter. Wow. What is it? Because a lot of them just categorize it and lump it all into that.
It sounds really good. It sounds really good. Yeah, I have a high sex drive. But when you start asking questions like that, which are deeper issues of the heart.
Right.
Things get really honest.
In every man's battle, we say, some people do have a sumo wrestler size sex drive because they're feeding it all the time with images and all this kind of stuff. But if you'll starve your sumo, then, you know, and guys wear T-shirts that say starve the sumo, then the sex drive becomes manageable when you're not feeding it all the time. All right, hold on, Sharon. We'll come to you right after this. You're listening or watching New Life Live. 1-800-639-5433 if you need help. Or that website, check it out. It's very helpful. It's not brand new now, but it's new. You might find something there of interest. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's go to Sharon from Orlando, Florida, listens on WTLN, has been holding a while. Hello there, Sharon.
Hi, Sherry, Steve, and Mylon.
Hello, Sharon.
I have been living in a shelter for roughly 10 months now. I finished your Boundaries and Safe People course, and now I'm in peacemaking. I've noticed that when I place boundaries as not allowing to be used by the individuals where I am, it is commented that I am evil, I am I sing Christian songs and not that. And it's very hurtful because these are people who have said that I would not let down my boundaries. And when I did do boundaries, I said, let me be vulnerable. and test my test where I am also.
All right, hold on just a second. You lost me at I sing Christian songs.
I sing Christian songs all the time. I just love singing.
Okay.
And you're in the shelter singing the Christian songs.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, Sherry.
And so you're saying you're not evil and
they're saying that I'm evil.
But you're saying, hey, I'm not evil. I sing Christian songs all the time.
Well, she also sets up boundaries for sexual advances, and they're calling her evil because...
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I just sing. I'm not singing because of anything. I'm singing just...
Because I
normally
like to sing.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So because you put up boundaries relative to sexual issues, because it's obviously a shelter that has male and females there.
No, only females.
Okay,
only females.
But who's calling you evil?
The female that I would not jump her car because her battery was gone. She said that because I didn't do it, she was half an hour late for work, that when I wear a pajamas, and it's a dressy pajamas to the public, she would say that our relationship has to stop, and I said okay. And
okay, so help us understand the question that we could help you with.
Okay, the question is: after 8 months of living in the shelter, I was told that I needed to get a roommate. I got the roommate, forgive me for explaining it like this, but this is the only way I can explain it. She snores like a freight train. I just cannot sleep.
Yeah.
It takes me an hour and a half to get to work. And the shelter says they cannot do anything about someone snoring.
Okay. Does she know she snores?
Yes, she knows she snores.
Is she willing to do anything to make it easier on you?
No, she said she cannot do anything. That is just how it is. Her doctor said there is nothing she can do because her heart is bad.
Mm-hmm.
She smokes, and so I would leave the light on so at least it would break up her snoring.
So what is the question for us?
The question is, a complaint was made by the snorer that I am leaving the light on, and the other person who I didn't jump the car with said that I am an evil person.
Okay. And so the question for us would be, if you could ask us a question, it would be
where does boundaries set whereby I'm not doing peacemaking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How does it blend? Because I set a boundary, now I don't have peace.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. Is there any way that you see yourself not living in that shelter anytime soon?
Yes, I have asked to move to another room, which I did that same night.
I mean, getting out of the whole shelter.
Yes.
That you'd be able to support yourself. Is that a possibility in the future?
It is a possibility. I have gotten from Coalition of the Homeless to help me with rent. I got that approval today.
Okay. All right. So that would be, I mean, the snoring thing, and you're in a shelter, you don't have a lot of choices about roommates, I would assume.
Correct.
And so that's just really a very unfortunate circumstance, and unfortunate that she's not willing to help you there. And I don't know if something that drowns out that noise helps. But it sounds like you ran across somebody that's really unhealthy and is a blamer, and it's your fault that she's late to work versus she didn't take care of the battery. And so these things are going to happen when you're in a shelter around so many different people. You know, if you live alone, these things don't happen when you live alone. They happen when you're in that kind of a situation. So I'm kind of thinking, I hope it doesn't get worse. But I think you got to initiate that plan to get out of that shelter.
But boundaries do, to answer her question, boundaries do create friction.
They do. That's
if
right.
If you are a person who is passive, does what anybody says, doesn't resist, never opposes.
Be a doormat.
Be a doormat, then some people call that a peacemaker. And so we need to redefine the issues.
Yeah. That's just a peacekeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've said that before. Okay, well, wow, Sharon, I'm really sorry you're going through that. We're going to take a break and come right back. We'll have a couple more comments on that. And glad you're with us today. If you can support us, we would love for you to. Also, we'll play a little clip from the medical director of our Alcohol and Drug Abuse Treatment Center. We'll do that next. We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Any comment you want to make before we move on about boundaries and Sharon and the shelter?
Well, I think you touched on it. You know, hurting people hurt people, and it's hard to be in a shelter. It's hard to live there. I think most of us can't even realize the reality of what that's like on a daily basis. And so boundaries, I think what you said, Mylan, was great. It is going to cause conflict, you know. I just was like, her ears need a good set of boundaries. I mean, you know, she needs to get a good set of earplugs mm-hmm. until she's out of there, because that could make you really weary not being able yeah. to sleep.
Well, and if I walk around singing Christian songs all day long, and then I have no idea why Sharon didn't help the person with yeah, her jumper cables right. in her car. But if I run around singing hymns all day long or songs or Christian songs, and then I say no to somebody, then I'm not going to help them.
Right.
They don't understand that. And they'll look at me and they'll say, well, aren't you supposed to help people? You sing these songs all day long. And they are not going to understand that right. disconnect. So sometimes some of our behaviors can evoke criticism.
Yeah.
If the people don't understand, if they don't understand why we said no.
I right. mean,
so sometimes we need to give an answer, you know, that why we won't do that.
Yeah.
So it's a hard situation, but you're right, Sherry. You just hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got a whole shelter full of them, you know, that are hurting.
Yeah.
They're really hurting.
All right. Let's go to Andrew from Sacramento. KFIA is the station. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
All right. Wow. Okay. I've been waiting a little bit, but the first time I ever called you guys, listened for about 10 years.
Thank you for holding on, and we'll give you all the time you need.
Well, that's a blessed thing. Okay. I know what you want. I'll still give it to you right off the bat.
Okay.
Question. The question is, I've been married for 6 years, and... I've been married for 6 years, and... It was about a week of under the sheets before we got married, and ever since we got married. Granted, we didn't have a honeymoon because we have too many kids. I married into this family, and there's four boys. And we were going to put that off, but it's no big whoop. But my big deal is that I think she's beautiful. I love her death, but I'm not physically attracted to her.
You're not physically. You're not physically attracted?
What is going on?
Okay.
I have thought about this for so many years.
Yeah.
And I've listened to you for somebody else to call and ask this question. What is going on?
Okay.
I'm a man of God. Christ walks with me. He talks to me. And I don't know if this is punishment or what. I've asked him, and then I kind of get like a no kidding kind of feeling, but I don't think that's it.
Yeah.
Because of a caretaker. I know I am.
Now, hold on just a second. Let me clarify something, okay?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you called us. Are you saying that she is beautiful to you, but you're not sexually attracted to her? Is that what you're saying?
Very correct, sir.
Yeah, okay. All right. And have you ever talked to anybody about this before?
I have two friends.
Okay.
I can't get out of the house much. I'm a caretaker. She doesn't even want me to get a job.
Okay, now, let me ask you this.
She gets... We're financially independent, doesn't matter.
Okay.
But this I'd take walks on the streets over this confusion.
Sure, sure. Now, how long did you know her before you married her?
For about 9 months.
And
No. I guess it's a year and 3 months. Sorry.
It was a year and 3 months?
Yeah.
And were you guys physically involved during that year and 3 months?
No, sir.
No. Just right before you got married?
Just a week beforehand, I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
I knew it was wrong, but okay. I figured, you know, I'm going to get punished for this.
Yeah.
And I was.
Well, you know, I'm telling
you. There's other things that happened, but this?
I just want you to assume that it's not punishment. And then we can try to help you understand what it is if it isn't punishment, okay? Okay, you guys want to start?
You know what, Andrew? I'm wondering, because I'm hearing your heart here and the tears, and there's a lot of pain in your heart.
Inside, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just going to take a leap here with you, just because of the time we have, but...
Take anything.
All right. I'm just wondering if there's been kind of an overwhelming sadness for a while about some things in your life.
Well, yes.
Yeah, like, is this the only
thing?
This is big.
Ever since the day after we were married.
Right.
Like, what's wrong?
Well, this is one of the things I'm wondering about because, and again, I'm just taking a leap. I'm wondering if you might be struggling with some kind of depression, a sadness.
There's something else. No, well, there's something critical I left out. It's my bad, and I'm sorry. I'm not a depressed man. I'm extremely frustrated over this. God had healed my depression many years ago. Even though I seem sad right now.
You had identified that you were depressed, and you believe God healed that depression years ago?
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah, I'm a very happy guy.
And now you're...
And she's happy with me.
But you're depressed again.
I feel like she's hurting inside now.
Do you know, Andrew, that one of the side effects of being depressed is that your sexual drive?
Yes,
can
I know
go
that.
Down.
I know all about that. My goodness.
Okay.
I'm a different kind of Joe. Matter of fact, my name isn't even Joe.
Okay, but think about this. Think about a year and 3 months of being very excited when you're in the presence or thinking about her, and so some different hormones start to pump and some different chemicals to your brain make you feel better from the moment you met her. And it just gets more intense, and you guys grow closer, and you just love it. And then you get married, and you're married. It's kind of all of the hormones and everything kind of settled down. Now you don't have that same medication anymore that happens during romance. But some people characterize it as psychosis, that when we're romantically involved and in love, so then you don't have that medication anymore, and so then you're stuck there with reality. You can't tell anybody about it because, after all, you were supposed to have been healed of your depression, and you don't want to admit that it's going to be there, so you have to act happy all the time. But here's a piece of reality you can't change. You're not sexually attracted to her.
And that would make, if you weren't sexually attractive, then it makes it kind of more convenient to not get close to her intimacy-wise. Mylan, do you want to talk about that? How, if someone enters into marriage, right, now all of a sudden they're laying in bed next to a wife, and if they have some issues with intimacy from the past, how that might play out?
Andrew, did you ever? I heard that, Sherry. That's a good question.
Mylan.
Yes.
You were not on the ball with me with that one. So I just want to tell you that I don't think it's fair for you to run with that.
Run with what?
Believe it. With what you said to me.
What did I say?
It wasn't insulting in any fashion. I'm just letting you know.
What did I say?
Well, I really wasn't even almost listening because it was not applicable.
Oh, maybe he was talking about what I said.
I didn't say anything to you yet.
I think you might have been talking about what I, Steve, was saying to you about the depression and the hormones pumping and all that. And
there you
saying,
go, there you go. Because I've been saying, since I was 17.
Okay.
And I'm 34.
Okay, have you ever...
August 31st.
Okay, so. I have a question for you. Have you ever had any pornography addictions or sexual addictions in the past?
I wouldn't call it an addiction. I have looked at everything that the world had to offer and found it foul. Kind of like on how you just can't help stop looking at something gross.
Okay.
Like,
so,
what I mean?
Yes. So sometimes...
And then it was all... It was like I reached into the internet and I wasn't interested anymore. God answered my prayers to keep those kinds of visions out of my mind. I don't even look at other women. I trained my mind because of the...
But Andrew,
I was in for 7 years before I met her.
One more question.
Not to ever look at women? Yes, I would love more questions if you could do that.
Well, we have to go to a break, but
that's fine. That's
but it sounds to me, you sound to me very disorganized in the way you're presenting everything to us today, and I wonder how chaotic and disorganized your childhood was.
Alcoholic father.
Yeah.
And I found out that when I was 26, that he was using cocaine, compounded the whole time.
Okay, hold on. We're going to get right back to you after this.
We're going to come right back.
Okay, Andrew, hold on.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're talking with Andrew. And Andrew, he's got a dilemma. A lot of men face it. He thinks his wife is beautiful, but he's not really sexually attracted to her. Mylon, you have some thoughts on this?
Well, there's this Old Testament story about a young man that falls in love with someone, and he is just insanely in love with her, and then he seduces her. And after he seduces her or has sex with her, he has an opposite contempt and hatred and disdain for her that was, the Bible says, just as strong in the other direction as the intense love that he once had for her. And this is an illustration, Andrew, of what we call a good-bad split, where we can idealize and have this wonderful view of somebody, and then when we finally have them or we finally are near them, something is wrong. We can't necessarily put our finger on it. It's not ideal. And we go to this bad place where we go, I can't have sex with you, or I'm not attracted any longer. You said we were between the sheets for a week prior. I knew it was wrong. So we had this sexual encounter. The day we get married and it's not wrong, that it's now right, I'm not interested anymore. And that is one of the factors of sin is attractive. There is a thrill in the sexual activity when I know it's wrong. And what sex does is before marriage or in an illicit capacity, there's this adrenaline piece that goes along with it. I know we're doing something wrong. Then when that's removed, all of a sudden the sex is lackluster compared to the adrenalinized sex. And then we go, uh-oh, something's wrong. And so there are therapists who understand how to work with this stuff. There's ways to start over. But I would really get in some couples work and somebody that really understands sexual responsiveness and the mistakes we make in our minds about sexual responsiveness. And I would say, as you began to talk about earlier, intimacy is a precursor to sex. And if we don't actually know what emotional intimacy is, then we don't really know how to build a great sexual relationship. And so some of the times the way to build a great sexual relationship is to start all over again and to create emotional intimacy first.
Now, Andrew, is any of that hitting home?
Well, yes. As far as a fix with that, the only kind of physical attraction I believe can be attained is through only working through Christ. I mean, actually being comfortable with the knowledge that He is in the bed with you.
Okay, let's
weird as that sounds.
Let's talk about some other things that you can,
very spiritual things.
Yeah, let's talk about some other things you could do to resolve some of the childhood stuff.
Sometimes we can over spiritualize these kinds of things because there's something that, as I asked you earlier, Andrew, I said you sound a bit disorganized and chaotic inside, and so you have scattered thoughts. You have a lot of emotion going on. This is really troubling you, and it's hard for you to create a continuous coherent. You leave out information.
You're pretty convinced he does the good bad split,
and he's doing a good bad split, and he's really troubled. And then what happens is a lot of people over spiritualize, and they think this is purely a spiritual battle. This is purely, I have to put Jesus between
the sheets. So
what
should he do? What could he do?
And let me point out, just before we go there, the good bad split a little bit. I've even heard with God today. You know, God healed me of my depression, or we need to be healed by, you know, the strong spiritual intervention. But then I've also heard that I'm being punished, that God might be punishing me for having sex. So do you hear the good bad split in that as well?
Good
it's
point.
Like God is all good, God is punishing.
Yeah. Good point.
So
the point about the chaotic attachment is that there is no rhyme or reason to it with people, or with God. And so I'm all over the map with respect to how I feel settled with people or how I feel settled with God. And so the answer to your question, Steve, what should he do about it? He said, I've just talked to a few friends about this.
Right.
That's all he's done.
Yeah.
He needs to get – look, Sacramento is a very big town, and there's we have a lot of Christian counselors there. And I know people up there that, you know, I know there's people there is what I should say.
Right.
And we need to get into a place where somebody begins to help unpack, not just that I'm not physically attracted to my spouse, but that I had this painful childhood with a dad who was an alcoholic, a cocaine. I found out when I was 26, there's a lot of pain that goes along for a child.
Trust issues. Huge trust issues.
And lots of inability to find security. And so, and there's other people involved here previous to this woman. Okay, he already told us that.
Right.
So I need some help from a professional counseling viewpoint.
Well, you know, we really do believe in the spiritual foundation of many problems, and we believe in a spiritual remedy as part of the treatment that needs to be given. But oftentimes, you can't just associate the problem with something spiritual, and that the solution is all spiritual. Now, in a way, it is, because I believe God gives us people in our lives to deliver us. You know, as Moses delivered the people of Israel, I think counselors many times are deliverers of people, and they reach inside and they find something that maybe isn't so obvious, and they help a person resolve it. So there's a balance that we have to have in our lives, and it's easy to go away from the tough work that needs to be done. You know, it's just hard.
By wanting a quick spiritual fix.
Right.
You know, I know as a therapist, I've had to really work hard at getting trained.
Yeah.
Not only in the world of, you know, being trained and having a doctorate in marriage and family, so the whole psychology, but the whole brain chemistry piece has been something I've had to look at because of not just seeing the answer in a quick spiritual way, and also having to look at the spiritual part of it, you know, and understand spirituality, the brain and the body, and relationships. You got to look at all three pieces or we're going to miss people just like Andrew. Yeah.
Well, we're out of time. If you are holding, we will not take any other calls, and I will get to every one of your calls in the next program, in the next hour. Now, that's my commitment to you. It's going to be quite a feat to do it, but I think we can do it. Anyway, so hold on if you possibly can. You've been listening to New Life Live, and every day we're right here, every weekday, trying to help people get a handle on the problems that they're struggling with. And we really want to help you understand things from a biblical standpoint. One of the books, new books that we have, is a book by Dave Stoop, and the title is so great. It's called People of the Bible Uncensored. So David, he takes all of these wonderful characters, and he shows you the upside, the downside, and the middle, and what that really says about them. As Mylon has shown us right here, here was an example of a psychological, I don't know what you'd call the good bad split. A psychological.
It's called splitting.
Split. So anyway, and it's right there in the Bible, right there. So anyway, So Dave's book, People of the Bible Uncensored. If you support us, we'll send that book to you, or you can order it online, either one. We didn't get time to play our clip about our alcohol and drug treatment center. We'll do that next time. And then this Friday, we're going to be doing a Friday focus on blended families or blending families, or you could call them bonus families. We'll be doing that this Friday. If you have some calls about your blended family or the unblended family, you can call us. We would love to talk to you there. And then we have this need for your financial support. If you could help us, please do. We really need all the help we can get. We look for somebody to sign up, or four people to sign up for Club New Life every day. And so if you could be one of those with a gift of about $30 a month, well, it would be a great blessing to us. It's the foundation of what we do. But a one-time gift, to give it, you go to newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Thanks for watching or listening. We love you. We'll see you next time on New Life.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.